For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
He is Mark Grody, and he joins us right now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo Tire, your hometown tire. Go to Aturo.com. Groats, hello, my name is Score Afternoons, and I am your host along with Anthony Herron. How are you, Mark? How was Bears practice today?
Oh, it was, I would say, Bears practice. If you're looking at it from a Caleb Williams perspective, the day ran hot and cold today. I would say the good part is, just as a headline, Caleb Williams did have three touchdown passes to Keenan Allen. Allen targeted all day. He missed him a bunch, too. There was some overthrows on the sideline to Keenan Allen, but I think going into this practice, for whatever reason, they decided that there needs to be some work between Caleb Williams and Keenan Allen, so that's what I saw. Did see a really pretty touchdown. Let me give you two back-to-back plays, the good and the bad. There was a play in red, starting at about the 20-yard line or so, what would be the defense's 20-yard line. Caleb rolls right, planned play, finds Keenan Allen in the middle of the end zone. Beautiful play. We know how deadly already Caleb is when you get him on the run. The very next play, though, Caleb Williams kind of floats one. It almost like it got away from him. He floats it into the end zone. That one gets picked off by Kyler Gordon. And right after that, he was talking up a storm with Matt Eberflus, trying to figure out exactly what happened. So it was a good day, bad day today for Caleb Williams in the offense, and in a good overall day for the defense.
Are we getting a sense yet for Thursday night whether or not we're going to get a chance to see Caleb out there yet again?
Don't know. You know, we had Shane Waldron on today. We did not get to talk to Matt Eberflus. He ultimately would be the one that would get to deliver that information to us. I asked Shane Waldron about it today. He wouldn't budge on it, said we'll wait and, you know, find out from Matt Eberflus. I think signs are pointing towards no, only because of one thing, and that is because the Bears are practicing on Wednesday. Initially, they were going to have that day off, so that logically, it sounds like that they want to get that practice day in because they wouldn't play starters on Thursday. However, you know, look, the Bears have made a big deal about how they're doing things differently now in the name of their quarterback. The Bears had an awful start to last year at 0-4, and I think a lot of it was because they did not have a healthy roster a lot of the time. They took it easy in training camp. They took it easy in the preseason games. So I guess all of this for me to say, I wouldn't be shocked if the starters were to get maybe a series or two out there. And I don't think that they've reached the number of snaps that they initially had wanted to get to. So logic says no, but I just can't be surprised if they did put the starters out. And quite frankly, guys, I would prefer to see the starters at least one more time just because of the space in between that last preseason game and the beginning of the regular season.
Yeah, I'm there as well. And Anthony convinced me as he talked about it a little bit earlier on in the show. A lot of people tweeting at us and others saying like, oh, Caleb looked bad today, Kyler Gordon with two interceptions, including the 100-yard pick six. You know, so I mean, do you think he would think he looked bad? Did Shane Waldron think he looked bad?
Well, I don't know if bad is the word. I mean, it feels like a lot of what we've seen from Caleb Williams, and now you guys have gotten to see them in the games. Look, the game on Saturday against Buffalo was not a good start for Caleb Williams early going, and duh, he was three and out three straight times. And then we saw the spectacular from him, the 45-yard bomb to Roma Dunze. that's the way these practices have been going. That's why I'm so glad people have gotten to see them, because, yeah, he's making some bad plays. I told you, that pass that he floated was as dangerous as it gets. He overthrew Keenan Allen several times, but he had that sweet touchdown pass to him as well, and two others. As far as Shane Waldron is concerned, one of the things that he's talking about is that Caleb is learning now that the windows in the NFL close a little bit early, so it's the good and the bad from Caleb. Here's Waldron on that.
I think, you know, part of that, you know, is just seeing concepts for the first time sometimes in those live game actions. But, you know, he had the great, you know, the ball out to Cole, the ball out to Simba, you know, some of those where he's showing that he plays in rhythm, he can play in rhythm, find those throws. And then, you know, what's pretty cool to watch is when the play breaks down, you know, it almost seems like it's in slow motion for him, and he can find the different rush lanes, being smart with the ball, you know, breaking contain and creating some explosives down the field. So, you know, for us with him, you know, it's about finding the balance of those two things, and I think he's doing a good job of progressing with that. And like you mentioned, you know, feeling out what are those windows, what are the windows that are too tight to fit it in, or what are the windows that are legit completions before getting into potential scramble modes.
No, part of the concern, Groats, as far as when Caleb got drafted and everyone looking at his college tape and seeing his style of play, was what the balance would be that the Bears would strike between trying to get him to be a refined quarterback while also just allowing some of the playmaking ability. We heard a clip there from Shane Waldron, of course, that you played there. But what's your sense for how the Bears are trying to thread that needle between allowing Caleb to be a playmaker while also, you know, just sort of teaching him life in the NFL?
From the plays that Shane Waldron has called, and obviously he's not going to unveil everything, but you can start to see what he is doing with Caleb Williams in terms of, you know, getting him out of the pocket a ton, and the bootlegs and the play action and all of that, that it, to me, it already looked, and it's such a good question because it's something that I wondered early on, and that is, how soon is Caleb Williams going to get to be Caleb Williams, as in making the plays like he did to Rome Odunze in the game? The play that I talked about in practice today, which I know people didn't see, but he rolls right and goes against his body, floats it into the end zone, finds Keenan Allen in traffic. So I already think it's happening. Like, I feel like, yeah, those first few OTAs, maybe the first week of training camp, they were keeping him as structured as possible, but we're seeing more and more autonomy, I guess you could say. Maybe that's not the right word because there is a plan in place, but Caleb Williams has been allowed to be Caleb Williams in a lot of parts, and even some of the stuff that might look off script to us isn't always necessarily off script. It's what Shane Waldron is pushing him to do. So we're already starting to see here, with a couple of weeks to go in camp, that they are letting Caleb unleash a little bit, which really portends well for the regular season.
Wow. I mean, that to me is the essential question about the coaching relationship and about what Caleb is going to do. And I've been the guy, Groats, who wants him to play within structure and hit his little slants and do that stuff because the defense is so good and because this is a team that is in a winning window right now. So I fear him putting the ball into harm's way, but he might have that special ability to not put the ball into harm's way. It's fascinating and something to continue to watch and dissect on the daily basis. Speaks and Anthony Aaron on the Scores Afternoon Show here on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. Shane Waldron talking about Caleb Williams and how he sees the field. That's interesting because sometimes we think we're watching a guy look through his progressions, but we can't really know for sure until they watch the film and talk to us about it, honestly, if they do.
Yeah, you always hear about it, Speaks, with quarterbacks. How is their vision? How do they see the field? This is how Shane Waldron answered that question.
Just his spatial awareness and, you know, his ability to see the full picture, knows where everyone is, and that's where I see it with him, you know, as he continues to develop, you know, really just getting a handle on the reps and the accumulated reps of certain concepts. But as far as seeing the picture and then being able to get to different windows or different rush lanes that he finds, you know, he's got that natural ability.
It just doesn't seem like Caleb has put the ball in harm's way, put the ball on the ground. That was honestly one of the concerns I had in my evaluation from college, was not necessarily the interceptions thrown, but when he holds the football, the ability to potentially fumble it away against better defenders. What have been your observations of that? You were talking about it in practice, but as you've looked at Caleb, and certainly as you've had a chance to talk to the coaches, him protecting the football is so huge for a rookie QB. How's that part played out?
Yeah, you know, it's played out pretty well. Yes, he's had the interceptions, no doubt about it, but what we haven't seen is a lot of balls batted out of his hands from the blind side. I always feel like that's a really tough thing for young quarterbacks to feel that pressure. Early on, that was a thing for Caleb Williams in this camp, and in OTAs feeling that blitz, but it's something that he has been really conscious of. I think that the thing he talks to coaches more about than anything when we see him huddling up with these guys, because sometimes you're in earshot, is the pressure, the blitz packages. Who is coming? Who do I not see? Who do I have to trust to pick up the blitz? So I think that that's been, you know, really important for him. I will say this, you know, the interceptions to the two by Kyler Gordon, for whatever it's worth, and I'm not saying this has been the case every single time, when Caleb Williams throws a bad pass, it's typically an overthrown pass, which obviously is better than the underthrown because that leads to more interceptions. So I guess that's a good thing. I think, guys, when this stuff starts for real, you are going to see Caleb Williams throw some interceptions. No doubt. I think especially early on, you're going to see sort of the way he looked today in practice, sort of the way he looked in the Buffalo preseason game, where there's going to be some moments where you're like, whoa, you know, the defense could not get off the field or the offense could not get off the field faster in those first few drives. But then all of a sudden he'll unload one and he'll be like, oh yeah. And it's just a matter of time as to when that will kick in. And hopefully he'll be really good or maybe even great. Who knows?
Mark, we've done a ton of Caleb Williams content on this show today, in part as an homage to the guy who left. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, let's move on to some of the other stuff. Kyler Gordon with a terrific game on Saturday, and you got a chance to talk to him today.
It was a very different show, though, when that guy was
Thank
here.
Thank you.
You two, this show is very different.
Very, extremely different. We even spelled different right on this show.
That's something Kyler Gordon, I don't know, he looked like the MVP on defense to me in the game on Saturday, and then he just follows that up today with a couple of interceptions. One thing that I've noticed in general with the Bears defense in training camp is they are dialing up a lot more blitzes from, you know, the secondary and from the linebacker. We saw Tremaine Edmonds do it in the previous preseason game, and he had the deflected ball. I've seen TJ Edwards blitzing like a madman in camp. So talk to Kyler Gordon about all of that and the fact that they're dialing him up.
I mean, definitely. Everyone loved the blitz, get aggressive, sack the quarterback, sack fumble, tackle for losses. Yeah, everyone loves that.
Has there been more of that or pressure being dialed up?
I mean, yeah, you could say that for sure. I mean, we practice a bunch of different things and get a bunch of reps at it. So, yeah, you could say that.
Is it an extension, Groats, of Matt Eberflus's aggression once he became the DC or at least the play caller last year?
I think so, but it didn't feel like the rate at which they are blitzing or being creative with this defense, I don't think was in as high existence during the regular season, even when the defense started to get good. But I think part of this is because of what we've been talking about since OTAs, and that is who's going to bring the pressure from the side opposite of Montez Sweat. One of the ways to do that is to be a little more creative and blitz a little bit more, even though you don't do a ton of that in the 43 defense. But it felt like that, and I guess Kyler Gordon kind of confirmed it. We'll see what happens when the regular season starts. But to be doing it this late into the preseason and having done it early on, it makes me think we're going to see a more aggressive version of Matt Eberflus's defense this year.
And part of it just comes down to who's good at it, too. You know, like Kyler Gordon is a really good blitzer. TJ Edwards is a really good blitzer. Tremaine Edmonds is not. Some of the other DBs are not. So Kyler Gordon being out there and just being really good at it, then we can be more enthusiastic about the potential for Kyler Gordon blitzing from the slot.
Yes. Yes, really? Yes, really, Mark.
Yeah, is that what's going on today?
Hey, man.
Is that what the new afternoon show is offering? Influsiastic?
That's been mine for a year now.
I'm not willing. I actually just told Speaks a little while ago, it might have been in a break, that I'm not willing to say Guwagi on the air. But Influsiastic, I enjoy that enough, and it's not something that's going to come up during a college football broadcast.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for listening. You know,
that other guy scared me away. I'm sorry. I'm listening now.
I understand.
Yeah. Sorry.
I understand. Well, this is how we're going to beat Wojo now. But you know, it's what makes somebody a bad blitzer? Just
a bunch of things. One, their timing can be awful, which some guys just don't time up the snap and anticipate it very well.
Kyler's
some,
timing on that blitz was exquisite.
Yeah, and it usually is. He's very consistent with that. But then also, when you get there, can you actually rush the quarterback? You know, like, not everyone is a great pass rusher. Not everyone has the proper angle when they're trying to blitz and get into the backfield. When you see a blocker and engage them, do you just chest up on the guy and your rush dies? Or can you actually make a move and evade them or have actual moves with your hands and the violence to be able to get there? Some guys are better at it than others.
Ask a question, get an answer, Groats. I loved Kyler's attacking tackle and hitting him high, hitting the QB high in
the
chest.
If there was one extra coaching point I would get him on that, I would love to see him just knock the football away. You got a blind shot on the QB. This defense is really centered on takeaways. That was a great takeaway opportunity that Kyler, yes, the sack was great. It's a cool-looking highlight. He could have taken that ball away, and he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating how good this defense looks like it might be able to be. So Tremaine Edmonds, not a good blitzer. What's he good at, Groats?
Well, he's a good tackler, just like a lot of these guys out here. And in particular, again, Kyler Gordon had a couple of open field tackles. Josh Blackwell putting the heat on that allowed Amen Ogbog Bamiga to come up with the interception. So you're thank you.
Well done, Groats.
Thank
well done.
You. Somebody has to do justice for this man. That's right. That's the last time I'm going to say it, though. No, I'm kidding. He looked great in that game. Tremaine Edmonds, though. On all of that good tackling to which I just referred.
I think that's just, you know, the focus that we put on it. You know, we do a lot of tackling drills at practice. It's unique to see it, you know, show up in the game now. Obviously, we know the work we put in, but just so that everybody else see it, you know, put a smile on my face, man, because I know how much we practice it, you know what I mean? And just seeing those guys make those plays, it goes down the line, man. We had a lot of guys stood out to me, but, you know, that's something that we practice day in, day out.
I really enjoy how this defense pushes the offense and vice versa. Like, it's a really satisfying thing. Groats, did you hear this from Caleb after the game? I mean, of course you did. But this thing from Caleb about how what he learned from playing in the games, this is Caleb from post-game. We'll get there, but
I was there. I was there.
So I don't have to play it for you.
Let's hear it. What's the gist?
No. He said that what he learned from playing the games was that the Bears defense is really good. It's so cool to hear that. So cool. Yeah. And it makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? They're pushing each other.
I got to tell you, man, like the early on in camp when we were doing the iron sharpens iron and this is good for Caleb going to, I was like, I don't want to hear all this. We just did this with Justin Fields. Oh, and we did that with Mitch Trubisky as well. So I kind of wrote that stuff off as us just kind of being lazy out here and going with the easy story. But watching Caleb Williams go up against other defenses, it really does look like the Bears defense has gotten Caleb in shape when you see him in these games. And I'm willing to say the way the defense has played in training camp and in these games, you saw the turnovers. I mean, Terrell Smith had another one as well, coming up with the interception. I'm willing to say that maybe the Bears defense is a notch better this year. I haven't bought into the Bears are a top five elite defense, but I got to tell you, man, there is something very hungry and very skilled about the way this Bears defense has played so far in this preseason.
Well, it depends on how much, on how much they can get out of that other defensive end spot and a couple other things. All right, what else you got, Groats?
I got one more from Gerald Everett, the Bears tight end in his first year here with the Bears, and I thought that he had some really strong stuff to say about Caleb Williams, and specifically he picks it up after, you know, we talked about the three straight three and outs that Caleb had.
Being a rookie quarterback, I can't imagine the pressure that's on him. But going through an NFL install from training camp to now, I mean, leading up to week one, just seeing him handle it, just roll with the punches is a sight to see. But watching him perform on Saturday, not Sunday, was also a sight to see. And rolling out pocket presence, vision down the field, and hitting Roman stride. I mean, I can't say enough about Caleb. And I'm sure he'll be even more exciting in the future.
Gerald Everett is a dude, as you described him earlier, didn't you, Ann?
Yeah, I love his frame, his ability to catch the ball away from that frame. He's not going to be Cole Kmet. He's not going to be an exceptional run blocker at the point of attack, but he is yet another weapon. He's part of the reason. I was telling, I don't know how many wagers you tend to place during the season, girls, but I was telling Spiegs, when it comes to Roma Dunze, Gerald Everett is a part of the reason. I don't know that Dunze's yards are going to be that high, But maybe for a prop, the touchdowns. I can see Rome getting in the end zone a bunch, but I don't know if he's going to get enough targets for a bunch of yards.
Too many weapons for this Bears offense.
God, I mean, isolate that. I mean, I hope that that is the case here. And Gerald Everett, too, and what you were just saying, Big Ant, he kind of mentioned that like today, that he's not Cole Kmet, you know, that he's a different style than Cole Kmet, which is absolutely perfect. Now, I did ask Shane Waldron about, you guys probably noticed there was a really bad connection with Gerald Everett on a couple of occasions in that game on Saturday. And basically Shane Waldron just said it was a little bit of a miscommunication and pretty much put the blame on Caleb Williams, not in a nasty way, but just communication that has to continue to go on between Caleb and Gerald Everett. And we've seen it with Roma Dunze on a couple of occasions too. And that's the beautiful part, that it just feels like some of the issues that exist, and of course there's going to be issues, are more of, they can be fixed very easily. They're not physical. It's more mental.
And in game, from one play to the next, one of the miscommunications with Gerald Everett took place on a play where Caleb was starting to climb the pocket. He extended the play, and then he just got a little bit too quick with his mechanics, and he just kind of fired the ball into the dirt out towards Gerald Everett, where he had another moment to set his feet and deliver it accurately. Then the very next play
was the one to Roman Dunze,
where he reverse pivots, rolls out laterally, and as he extends the play, he realizes, I've got time. You could almost see him take a breath for a moment and then just float this teardrop as he's running left toward the sideline. And from one snap to the next, the way he processed it improved from that one play in a very similar scenario. So I loved seeing him making that improvement within the game from one play to the next.
I think he might have tripped a little bit. I think on the
one
to Everett.
But as opposed to gathering himself and coming back to balance, he just said, oh, let me hurry up and get it out there. There was a defender converging, and so you can understand it, but he processed the very next snap very differently.
Yeah, I would say go back and maybe you guys could find it, not this second, but I did ask him about that, and he described it pretty closely the way Big Ant just described it in terms of what went wrong on that particular play. But some things got to be tightened up still.
I don't know what kind of sauce you've brought, but do you have delicious Bears nuggets?
Sauce! I do. What's your favorite nugget sauce, Speed?
Sweet and sour.
You go the sweet and sour.
God,
okay.
I tell you what, downstairs at Amazon Go, where I don't get sushi anymore, I might get some of the boneless chicken wings, or just, you know, popcorn chicken or whatever the hell they call it. And they have all the sauces right there.
Oh.
Grab whichever one you want.
Or you got against honey mustard.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ant. I'm a honey mustard.
Thank you, Groats.
Yep. Thanks for asking.
Appreciate not everything.
Groats and I became a team a long time ago. That wasn't just today.
Oh, yeah. No, you guys have a thing. Yeah, you don't have to pretend to like him.
Well, I don't know what's been going on with you two. I have to go back and listen.
It's
here.
Been rough.
I tell you
it's
what.
It's been kind
of
rough.
I do have some other stuff, though. Tyler Scott caught a couple of touchdown passes from Tyson Bagent. There's two guys who have had really good camps, Tyson Bagent and Tyler Scott. Jaquan Brisker was out here kind of working a little bit, but mostly off to the side riding the bike. So I'd call that a no practice for Brisker today. And one funny thing I
noticed. Nobody's mad at Jaquan Brisker for not practicing.
No.
Well, it's just Nate Davis. It's all reserved for Nate Davis.
I know that you love to protect Nate Davis, Anthony. I listen to you, man. I hear you ripping on us, man.
Nobody's angry at all. Jaquan Brisker.
Well, guess what? Nate Davis practiced today.
Nate Davis
was back in there, and a funny thing that happened, this is just like what I was interpreting, but at one point in the practice, Nate Davis and Montez Sweat got into a little bit of a shoving contest that felt like it could escalate, but then it didn't. It was like this like couple of old veterans out there, and they're like, you know what? Let's call this off. I described it as the most uninspiring training camp fight that I've, because it looked like it was going to escalate, and then the body language said, oh, I don't want to do this. Do you want to do this? I don't want to do this. I'm not interested. That's what I saw. It was
mutual
hilarious.
Admiration society. Like, we're too old for this.
Totally.
Let's Danny Glover this thing. We're fine.
We're too old for this. Exactly. Spot on. Great analogy. That's it. That's all I got.
Groats, you're the best, buddy, and I know you'll be coming up at 6 o'clock. Have a good show.
Oh, my God. I got another show to get ready for. I got to go, guys. Bye.
Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live is tonight at 6 right here on The Score. Bears training camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. There are some roster questions. How many of them are actually legit? Let's discuss that with Anthony Herron next here on the Scores Afternoon Show on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Chance to close out this drive with a tutty. Third down and goal from the four. Webster and Scott are the wideouts. Pettis in the slot. Looking for Pettis in the corner. Touchdown.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Adam Amin, I'm with you. I love tutty for a touchdown. It's fun to say. I got no problem with it. In fact, I actually really like it, and I want it to be normalized.
Okay.
Your thoughts, Anthony Herron, Robbie Triano, Alex Kuhn, on calling a touchdown a tutty. Cool or not cool?
I'm good with it.
You're good with it?
Yeah, I mean, got to come up with a variety of ways to describe these things. Mm-hmm. Adjectives that don't really enter the English language usually, but yeah.
It's a noun, though. It's a noun. Touchdown. Tutty.
Tutty.
So it's
tug. I'll use tug on occasion.
Tug for what?
For a touchdown.
You will?
Yeah.
A tug?
Yeah.
That's something different. Does it
How do you even get there?
Does it go with, like,
how do you go from touchdown to tug?
What if you get, does it, what if it happens on a rub route? Then what do you have?
Right. You tell me.
I've just heard stories about it.
Bob Kraft?
I've heard Bob Kraft stories about rub routes that turned into touchdowns. That's exactly right.
Half hour to go. Your first show without the other guys.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's the best edition of Score Afternoons we've ever had.
Yeah. So it really is. It's first and best. For anybody who doesn't know, my name is Sko. Score. You can call me Score if you want, but Sko, Sko for sure.
Sko for sure.
Tutty, you guys all right with Tutty?
Yeah, that's how I've always said it.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard you say it once, Alex. I think you're lying.
Yeah. You just heard it.
Yeah, I just heard it now. Bunch of crap.
Well, what other ways can you say touchdown? Apparently, tug is one of
tug
them.
Is tug is apparently one.
Yep. You have six?
Six.
I think tutty is the go-to if you just don't say touchdown.
It's not. You don't really have, you know, varieties like you do for home runs. Or like a three-pointer. Like there's a triple or there's a bomb or anything like that. No, you don't really have any. All right, good talk. what is
a bomb? Sure.
How many? I mean, yeah, but it's just a bomb. I don't know of any other touchdown varietals. I don't think there is one. How many defensive ends are they going to keep, Anthony Herron? How many defensive ends does an NFL team usually keep? Four?
I'm guessing the Bears will keep five.
They'll keep at least five, right? I mean, do they keep...
They're not going to go far beyond that. I don't know how many of them are really going to equate to special teams. Like, you're obviously not going to use Montez Sweat or DeMarcus Walker on special teams.
Those two are on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Booker's on the team.
Right.
Is Khalid Kareem on the team?
Mm.
Is Dominique Robinson on the team? Had some flashes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Poles reference.
You don't have enough guys better than Dominique Robinson, but
right.
You know, is he some guy you're counting on for big time production? No.
How about today's guest on the midday show, Daniel Hardy? Is he on the team? He made a special teams tackle too. At least one of them, maybe two of them, the other day.
There's nothing I'm seeing from Daniel Hardy or Austin Booker that says you don't get at least what you've gotten from Dominique Robinson up to this point. But they have invested a lot in Dominique Robinson, and they've watched him reshape his body and all this other stuff. That in the end, sounds good in the offseason, but it would be good to see more production from him in game, and I still feel like that's missing.
I heard Brad Biggs talking this morning about how the way the roster is going to end up coming together, maybe they keep more defensive ends than a normal NFL team sometimes does, because they tried to get Matthew Judon. I mean, polls came out and admitted they tried to get Matthew Judon. Yep. It couldn't do it. And as opposed to like signing Yannick Ngakoue at this point, keep three kids. I'm going to guess, my guess would be that Dominique Robinson and Austin Booker and Daniel Hardy all make this team. That they do keep five. And you got those three along with Walker and Sweat.
I mean, that would certainly be nice for them, but you take the full scope of the roster into account. Where does that leave them at wide receiver? You know, I mean, they're trying Velus Jones at a few different spots. Colin Johnson had some nice moments early in the preseason between not only receiver but special teams as well. So in the end, you know, you got your 53-man active roster. And so if you're keeping six defensive ends, and what does that mean for how many receivers you end up keeping? And, you know, the full scope and the full, the complete picture of that has to kind of equate together before you say, ah, we're just going to keep six defensive ends.
Yeah,
and that
yeah,
means
no.
you're keeping less of other positions.
But maybe five. Maybe Khalid Kareem doesn't make it. Maybe they keep the three kids and then Walker and then Sweat. All right. Do you think Velus Jones makes this team?
As of today, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think, you know, via injury, it's possible. But yeah, as of today, I don't see where there's a spot that he's earned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to take a flyer on keeping a running back, the kid Ian Wheeler, I mean, maybe a little more so.
He's not making the team either.
He's not making the team either, huh?
No.
You got Swift, Herbert. Does Herbert make the team?
Yes. Some of the stuff that comes up doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Tell me.
The idea of Khalil Herbert perhaps not making the roster, and that seemed to be getting traction. I don't know where and for why. I mean, who else? Who's your number two back? Just counting on DeAndre Swift to be like a 1,500-yard guy with a bunch of touches? He's never been that.
I thought Roschon Johnson was going to be the number two back.
But he hasn't shown that. He hasn't earned that. He's been banged up as well. So if Roschon Johnson was stepping into these preseason games, lighting up the night sky with all his yardage and being in the open field making plays, that'd be one thing. But Roschon Johnson hasn't shown anything that he can be your number two back. Mm-hmm. Not over Khalil Herbert, who's had legit production in NFL games frequently throughout his short Bears career. And he's not expensive yet. So where's Khalil Herbert going that the Bears don't need him?
Yeah. No, yeah. You're making sense on it.
Yeah.
You're making sense. Yeah, because I was thinking maybe Velus or Khalil Herbert a few weeks ago.
No.
I was thinking that kind of that
Velus
that
or Ian
process.
Wheeler, perhaps. But not Velus or Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert is on this team. Kari Blasingame is on this team. You're not putting a fullback on the preseason roster unless you plan on having a fullback on the team. It's a waste of a roster spot. If a fullback is a part of your game plan, then you put them on the team during the preseason. You use them. You find spots to that it makes sense. But there's no reason to have Kari Blasingame on the roster if you don't plan on having a fullback as a part of your game plan in the regular season. So Kari Blasingame is here because they plan to keep him as well.
Let's go back to the wide receivers. So okay. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, Tyler Scott makes this team, right? And then Dante Pettis, I know he looked good in the game with the two touchdowns. I know they like him as a sure-handed punt returner. He did go backwards on a punt return, which kind of frustrated me
but
a little
bit. But he's at least done it at a high enough level in games where you know you can count on him. You can count on him to catch the ball. You can occasionally count on him to make somebody miss and pick up some real yards. No, there's not enough other guys on the roster, especially at wide receiver, that you can say that about.
All right, so Pettis makes his team as a fifth wide out, and is there a sixth? Depends on the roster construction, huh? Here's Ryan Poles talking about from the game, from his interview with the game, talking about how this roster is starting to look and come together.
Yeah, I mean, when you go all the way back, I think when you walk through the doors your first year, you're trying to figure out where the cornerstones are going to come from. And as you work through that, there's different things that pop up. There's contracts, age, different things like that. So we wanted to continue to build through the draft. We had some good opportunities through trades to elevate our team. Again, being opportunistic to those things that pop up. And obviously that's how we got DJ in here. So it's been a journey, but it's really fun to see it coming together right now.
All right, so what other spots interest you, Anthony, in terms of some of the stuff that's going on with the roster?
I mean, Nate Davis, I know there's been a lot of Nate Davis frustration with folks just looking at him standing around and not being clear why he's just standing around at times. But until further notice, Nate Davis is their best interior offensive lineman.
Yeah, it's just the way that he talks about it. The way that he talked about it last week, and we didn't even deal with it because we had our final show and Radiothon action.
Oh, yeah, that did happen, didn't it?
Yeah, what was his name again?
I've forgotten.
God, it's tricky.
Yeah.
But the way Nate Davis talks about his situation does him no favor. favors with media or people.
It's not a bubbly personality.
But no, it's not. It's not only that, Ant. It's not only that. It's the fact that he says, like, I'm not going to deal with anything that's happening on social media, when it's actually about something his own coach said
to
the media.
But if his coach didn't say it to him, then why does Nate Davis care that it was said to a media member and now you're asking him to respond to something the coach said to the media about him? Either Matt Eberflus said it to Nate Davis or he didn't. Because, and again, I talked about it a bit on Friday. I think the way Herb Howard phrased that question makes 100% sense. It was the best way to frame the question. But Nate Davis's response, I don't take an issue with his response either, because his coach didn't say it to him. If Matt Eberflus walks up to Nate Davis and says, Nate, your job's on the line, then that's one thing. That's not what happened. Matt Eberflus was asked about whether or not Nate Davis has to compete for his job. Matt Eberflus said, yes, Nate Davis has to compete for his job, just like everybody else on this roster. What else does Nate Davis need to say about that? Matt Eberflus didn't come and bring something to Nate Davis.
As far as we know. As far as we know.
That's all we can base it on.
Yeah. Well,
that's all we can base it on.
All right. God, you are the biggest Nate Davis cheerleader that I didn't know existed in
this
universe.
Put the guy on the field and let him play. If he's not healthy enough to play, then put Ryan Bates in there. If he's not healthy enough to play, then put Matt, whatever his name is. He did pretty well when he was out there. It's his name, Matt Pryor. He's big.
Yeah.
He's strong.
Like
he
Matt
looked
Pryor?
Pretty good.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like him better than Nate Davis. Nate Davis is the best guy they have on the interior of that offensive line. Ryan Poles knows it. Matt Eberflus knows it. So they're not in a hurry to eschew Nate Davis anywhere else.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say, a lot of times when we just have a short final segment, sometimes like we put a bow on it.
Who is this we you speak of?
Now it's you and me. The bow is gone. The bow is gone.
We're bowless?
I'm going to use a ribbon. When we come back on The Score.
We're back with more of The Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, the city is buzzing, hopping. It's filled with Democrats and protesters and conventioneers and security humans, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Did you see that tonight at the Democratic National Convention, Steve Kerr is going to speak? This just came out a little while ago.
I did not see that.
Steve Kerr is going to speak on the floor of the United Center, not far from where the man played for a long, long time. So that among the things that are going to be going on here tonight, you no longer have to go to the neighborhood where it's all happening.
I get to avoid that.
You get to avoid that whole
Steve
morass.
Played at the UC, right?
Yeah.
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 Well, you said not far from it.
But where he's going to speak, I think where the stage is.
Okay.
I meant like really very, very close.
Okay. Yeah. In proximity, that's extremely close.
Extremely close.
Yeah. He might have even run across where the stage is.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
One would think. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Anthony Herron, you and me will be here. And we've got Nico Horner coming on the show for his weekly. And we will talk to Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show, who's also joining the Score team. He's got a new show that's debuting on Saturday right here on the Score. So
Paul Pabst has a show coming up on the Score?
He does.
Wow.
He does.
All right. We'll checking that out.
We'll teach everybody about it, you know? And that's for now, I'm still holding on to this idea of calling this show The Dan Patrick Show. I think that's got legs.
Do you think you should run it by the executive producer of The Dan Patrick Show?
I guess we could ask him tomorrow.
Right. Well, he's actually stealing our name. So
He's going to go with Spiegel & Company. Right? That's his show?
Exactly.
On Saturday?
Yes.
Spiegel & Company.
Okay.
Yeah, understood. But I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow, man. We'll have some fun. We got some leftovers stuff that we didn't get a chance to get to today. And then a whole host of new issues. And new stories. Thank you so much to Robbie Triano for doing a great job as executive producer today. Shane Reardon on vacation. He'll be back. Thank you so much to Alex Kuhn for doing a terrific job today. Chris Tannehill on vacation. He'll be back. Anthony Herron, you are a delight. Thanks, man, for being here. He'll be back tomorrow.
We're going to sing karaoke tomorrow, I'm sure.
Are we? I look forward to it.
Why wouldn't we?
Thank you to Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team and to Mark Grody for being the guest on our show. Danny Parkins used to be on the show. He won't be back.
Oh, that's his name. That's the name.
I remembered,
his name.
Just in time.
Congratulations.
Just in time, I remembered it. I'm Matt Spiegel. I will be back tomorrow along with Anthony Herron. Mark Grody is coming up next with Training Camp Live. Thanks for listening to Spiegs and Ann Herron on 670 The Score.
needle.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, the city is buzzing, hopping. It's filled with Democrats and protesters and conventioneers and security humans, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. Did you see that tonight at the Democratic National Convention, Steve Kerr is going to speak? This just came out a little while ago.
I did not see that.
Steve Kerr is going to speak on the floor of the United Center, not far from where the man played for a long, long time. So that among the things that are going to be going on here tonight. You no longer have to go to the neighborhood where it's all happening.
You get to avoid that.
You get to avoid that whole
Steve
morass.
Played at the UC, right?
Yeah.
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 Well, you said not far from it.
But like, where he's going to speak, I think where the stage
I got you.
Is.
Okay.
I meant like really very, very close.
Okay. Yeah. In proximity, that's extremely close.
Extremely close.
Yeah. He might have even run across where the stage is.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
One would think. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Anthony Herron, you and me will be here. And we've got Nico Horner coming on the show for his weekly. And we will talk to Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show, who's also joining the Score team. He's got a new show that's debuting on Saturday right here on the Score. So
Paul Pabst has a show coming up on the Score?
He does.
Wow.
He does.
All right. We'll checking that out.
We'll teach everybody about it. You know? And that's for now, I'm still holding on to this idea of calling this show The Dan Patrick Show. I think that's got legs.
Do you think you should run it by the executive producer of The Dan Patrick Show?
I guess we could ask him tomorrow.
Right. Well, he's actually stealing our name. So
He's going to go with Spiegel & Company. Right? That's his show?
Exactly.
On Saturday?
Yes.
It's Spiegel & Company.
Okay.
Yeah, understood. But I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow, man. We'll have some fun. We got some leftovers stuff that we didn't get a chance to get to today. And then a whole host of new issues. And new stories. Thank you so much to Robbie Triano for doing a great job as executive producer today. Shane Reardon on vacation. He'll be back. Thank you so much to Alex Kuhn for doing a terrific job today. Chris Tannehill on vacation. He'll be back. Anthony Herron, you are a delight. Thanks, man, for being here. He'll be back tomorrow.
We're going to sing karaoke tomorrow, I'm sure.
Are we? I look forward to it.
Why wouldn't we?
Thank you to Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team and to Mark Grody for being the guest on our show. Danny Parkins used to be on the show. He won't be back.
Oh, that's his name. That's the name.
I remembered,
you remembered his name.
Just in time.
Congratulations.
Just in time, I remembered it. I'm Matt Spiegel. I will be back tomorrow along with Anthony Herron. Mark Grody is coming up next with Training Camp Live. Thanks for listening to Spiegs and Ann Herron on 670 The Score.
That was needle.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.